Start first of all by adjusting your motivation and think that you're here on this occasion to listen to the most profound and extensive teaching of the Mahayana. And the reason why you do that is because you aspire to be of benefit to sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past are as vast as the vastness of space. So for their sake, you should listen to these teachings with the aspiration to reach the state of perfect and complete enlightenment, this precious state that is characterized by the complete eradication of negativity and the full development of all positive qualities. So thinking like that, please adjust your motivation. Rinpoche
started by actually quoting a verse that explains how important it is for us to meditate on emptiness and put a lot of emphasis and engage emptiness through various doors of reasoning. If we examine the six types of migrators, we can see that on the basis of each one of them, we have definitely the potential, the ability to reach enlightenment in the future. And in particular, when we examine this potential that exists on the basis of the mind of migrators, we can see that there is the potency to generate the qualities of the Buddha on the basis of the mind that we have right now. But prior to having an understanding of all this, we remain in the inner state which is characterized by the experience of suffering. And this is mainly due to the ignorance of grasping at the self. This acts as the root, and then it's followed by a number of other afflictions. Ignorance of grasping at the self, together with the two main afflictions, constitute the three poisons. And then, due to those poisons, the mind loses its control. It becomes under their power. and due to that one experiences many types of suffering. It is possible, however, to gradually eliminate this suffering and to gradually move towards liberation of this suffering. But in order to achieve that, we need to put a lot of emphasis on realizing emptiness. And as we strive to realize emptiness, we develop our practice of wisdom. Together with that, we need to combine, we need to put together the practice of method. If we examine the teachings that fall into the category of the Prajnaparamita text, we can say straight away that the direct teaching, so the direct object of all these texts, is emptiness, and therefore it refers to the practice of wisdom. But together with the direct teaching or the direct object, we also have the hidden one, and the hidden one is the practice of method.
Tadi tempat mampu cangya di suhu suhu tempat ni dah mampu kudon di sini susu susu jika tubuh ke dah mampu kuat lantang menjawab riri cang, wajib dah tiada cang dingi.
Now, as I said, we referred to method before, and when we look at method, we can definitely look at the method as described in the three vehicles, the vehicles of the hearers, of the solitary realizers, as well as the great vehicle. When we examine the three vehicles from the point of view of method, it is also important to examine them from the point of view of wisdom. And here, when we talk about wisdom, of course, we're referring to emptiness, we're referring to realization of selflessness. Now, because the subject of emptiness is so subtle and so deep and so difficult to understand, we need to comprehend that, of course, the way that the realization will be generated in one's continuum will be in accordance with one's own mind, with one's own intelligence, with one's own resolution. And this is why we actually have teachings that address different groups of trainees. This is why we talk about the three vehicles. This is why we talk about the four schools. And this is why we have a presentation of selflessness in the school of great exposition, the Sutra school, the mind-only school, and the middle way school. And again, within the middle way school, we have two subdivisions, the autonomy and the consequence school. Each one of those presents a different level, let's say, of presentation of selflessness.
Oggi da di na yin ba yin du da bi dong wa dao ji ren ba oggi da ti ko la ji da ka ri se go oggi da ji de jian ban go mo ma to ba ji ga tin de yu wa ro ba ji ngon ti ge no jian ba xi zao wa ta de zhang ju san ba jian ban go ma wo chang ji jian ban san su ro sa zong o jing gan la su ro ni yue tin de da ji ji de jian ban go mo oggi ta dang bo gan la ji Jangan 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 jang 我的地我的上街的天南阳上街先把是我的地那么特别高档咱们几个上街的高层部工地要么的先奔天所定义先奔天所的各地各地的谁呢就如果曾经能够到你们曾经他们去了我觉得先把到年纪做我今天嘛的恭喜做我今天能定义一百元对我的先把先把西门天所定义
It is said that the Buddha Maitreya, which will be the next Buddha, actually had a particular name right from the beginning, even before he entered into the path of the Great Vehicle, when he was a fully ordained monk. He was known by the name Gelong Maitreya. Maitreya translates as love, so his name was Gelong Love. When he became a Bodhisattva, he was known as the Bodhisattva Maitreya, the Bodhisattva Love. And when he will come, he will descend into this world as the next Buddha. He will be known with the name the Buddha Maitreya, the Buddha Love. And the reason why he would retain the name Love during all these times, during all the stages of the path, is because it is said that he always focused and meditated on love and compassion on sentient beings who are as equal as space. And in that way, he made this determination to have love as its main characteristic. And this is how he took and retained this name. Now, we've mentioned this concept of meditating or focusing on love and compassion. And in the beginning, it might seem that this is an easy practice, this is something quite easy to generate. But when we're talking about love that is undifferentiably extended towards friends, enemies and strangers without keeping some close and keeping others in a distance, then really this is something quite difficult. And it is exactly due to the strength of this love that we say that the practice of love and compassion is from amongst the different practices of our method is the strongest one. And this is why we have this concept of the four immeasurables. And from the four immeasurables, the first two is immeasurable love and immeasurable compassion. And this word immeasurable there, it's not given, let's say, by accident. This has a very special meaning. It shows that really it includes all sentient beings without exception, without ever making a distinction between those who are close and those who are near.
And the name of great vehicle that we use for the practices of the Bodhisattvas, this word great actually comes from comparing the love that exists within the continuum of a Bodhisattva in comparison with the love that exists in the mind of hearers or solitary realizers. And there is a vast difference in the size of the love that exists in the mind of the Bodhisattva, and that's why the vehicle is called the great vehicle. And you can also see an example of that, the power of love and compassion. When Buddha Shakyamuni was at the last stage of actualizing and manifesting his enlightenment in Bodh Gaya, at the last stages he was attacked by the Maras, the horde of demons, who were throwing different arrows and attacking the Bodhisattva, who was just on the verge of enlightenment, with different means. And at that point, of course, you know, the Bodhisattva had full power. He could have manifested wrath. He could have used some wrathful means. But instead, what he did was to meditate on love and compassion. And this completely pacified the mother, the demons. And this is also, this is also said by the great Lama Tsongkhapa, who has said that if you find yourself in a situation where many sentient beings oppose you by different means, then the best way to treat that is with love and compassion. If you're capable of generating these two, then you will find that the opposition will naturally subside.
我的地几日在我们这边上几日在去年过了人把生活过了我的地道过的地区啊那些现在跟对公巴地我就在你就在现在公巴地就想去定啊是我就在那天去人家没办法但我上有啊的地道地农村过但我是在地区啊个各自啊把地的头发全部就了没天区是几天也没人 我在开场就我们喜欢那些人就是就让个细节这个三当点不生前刚刚个细节啊嘛生级真的请客把同门的大碗当但你上级这碗的往往把那上级啊就有啊人对三级真实级的真奇迹没定义嘛就马七八就因为人对真啊就是我的三级真的点呢就 什么可能的，在那江南养个月的，江刚刚嘛就地道那边，他们就在那上面的就门定的。三个点个江的山上有定的，三个点西街个点西街个江的点那阳台阳街上有定的。现在一般人都，我就江南西那江跟西亚区有定的，阳台跟田亚区有地方人都，现在个确实就上下话的。
So we described how actually the Bodhisattva at the last stage, just before his enlightenment, was attacked by the Maras and meditated on strong love and compassion. And by defeating the Maras, very soon after that, he actualized the state of perfect enlightenment. Once the Buddha reached the state of enlightenment, he engaged in various activities. And, of course, he engaged in the activity of bestowing teachings. From those teachings, important are the teachings on the Prajnaparamitas. And right now, as the text that we are examining, that we're analyzing and studying, is one of the Yu Lama, the Uttara Tantra, the Sublime Continuum, which is one of the five texts of Protector Maitreya. We talked a little bit about the etymology of the name, the title of the text. We have the word continuum in the title of the text, and when we talk about continuum, we talked about the mental continuum that exists within sentient beings. This mental continuum existed since the beginning of samsara and will continue to exist all the way until we reach the state of enlightenment. And when we talk about continuum, really we want to stress this idea of continuity, that there is something in our consciousness, this stream of consciousness that continues. And when we examine the mind of sentient beings, we can see that the mind actually possesses a lot of faults, but as a matter of fact, these faults can be eliminated, can be reduced. And also on the basis of this mind, it is possible for us to generate qualities. It is possible that these two things happen, the elimination of faults and the generation of qualities. And then also when we look at this continuum, like we talk about this sublime continuum, and when we examine this word sublime, it indicates that something is above other things, that is higher than other things. And we said that this actually refers to the view that is presented in this particular text, the classification of the text. And eventually, of course, we have the word the treatise, which explains that it is a text explanatory of this, the great vehicle continuum.
Durji need the Buddhism or Jujang. Tinoni need the Gunoni. What you that on both on you control, you control, Gendo control, you control some body. What you that Durji need the Gunoni Tambosum. Tambosum de some tell I on you. Jiranan Tosu, Sanji Din Jono, Sanji Komso Din Jono, Chu Komso Din Jono, Gindu Komso Siji, Homer, Jono Amti, Warren Jiron, Wajiba, Wajita, Tila, Yichi Jiva, Yendu, Tila Jamruji, 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 T
So we started last time by presenting the seven Vajra-like categories, and I said that the first three of those refer to the three jewels, the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, and the Sangha jewel. And when we talk about the three jewels, it is important to understand that we can talk about the three jewels at the time of the result, and we can also talk at the three jewels at the time of the cause, what is said. So in this way, we can actually talk about causal and resultant refuge as well. And when we talk about the three jewels at the time of the cause, when we talk about causal refuge, we're actually talking about the aspiration or the aim that we can set in our minds. Right now, as we are ordinary beings, we have not reached enlightenment yet. Nevertheless, we can look up to the Buddhas and we can admire their qualities. We can look at the mind, the enlightened mind of the Buddha, and we can say, well, look at that. It actually includes the Buddha jewel, the Dharma jewel, the Sangha jewel. All these qualities are possible to be generated. And if they have done it, it is possible for me to do it as well. So generating this faith in your mind that these qualities are achievable and generating this aspiration to reach that, such a particular state, this type of mind, this type of thinking is actually what we classify as the causal jewels.
Kam diwar jabanyambo di sangho tse na, kam diwar jabanyambo di karirisena, wajigita nikab samrajiga goni sangyongu yuwari. Chigindi awana, ndi okko menchi jina, madao madao tafa dangho tse na, samyuwari. Tati kabdi, kam diwar jabanyambo si jidi, jigita, ranyi mawa bana sangjiya go chedu,
So once we have explained briefly the three jewels, we come into the next of those Vajra categories, which is potential. And when we talk about potential, we use also its synonym, which is the heart or the essence of the Tathagata. And this is always explained in three contexts. Now, later on in your text, you will find the point where it refers to the potential, and it says that it refers to the time of the impure, the partially pure, and the pure. So we can see, actually, the word purity and impurity is repeated two times. First of all, we talk about the time of the impure. And the time of the impurity is the time where our minds are actually possess a lot of stains. This is during the time of the path of accumulation and the path of preparation. And also it includes the time from the time of accumulation and preparation. So it describes how we have started meditating on the path. But of course we are a long way away from enlightenment. When we come into the second occasion where he talks about the time of partial purity or partial impurity, whichever way you want to use the term, it actually describes a time where some sort of purification has already taken place, but still there is quite a lot of impurity. And this describes the path from the first to the seventh ground, including the seventh ground. And then finally we come to the third context, where it's the context of purity. So we're talking about this potential that exists within the mind of those who are on the eighth ground and above. Now, when you reach the eighth ground, you have already eliminated quite a lot of affliction and stains from your mind. So from that point onwards, all the way up until to the state of enlightenment, where you have total purity, you can talk about potential within the context of pure. So we have the impure, the partially pure, and the totally pure. Three contexts.
Oggi da dinda yamba yendu dan kam diwar jaba nyembu di ngi da jila mi mar liwe tambu na ni mar ji hu ji ne mgi au ji ne mar pe go tong go tinda ga mar pe mambu go ni mar sanga go yari oda di kon yuna dinda ji da da ti au ni shang chi da yon de se ji de ru ji ka ri se go shang ji san bi ji lam drop ka ji kam jong shi ko yon de ga na ka
This potential actually is presented very extensively in this first chapter, and there are a number of nine examples, analogies, and the meanings of those are included in the first chapter, and this is why the first chapter is the most lengthy one from amongst all the chapters of the text. Now, after the potential, we find enlightenment and qualities. And again, enlightenment and qualities can be seen in different contexts, in different occasions. We can see them at the causal state and the resultant state. And again, when we talk about qualities, you can definitely talk about qualities that will be present in your continuum while you are still practicing on the path.
And also you can talk about resultant qualities. Now, we come to the last one, which refers to enlightened activities, and there is a definition of those enlightened activities, which is say there are the activities that are undifferentiable from the nature of the Buddha itself, from the enlightened mind itself. Now we talk about the enlightened activities of the Buddha, and really it comes down to the function of the body, the speech and the mind of the Buddha. In other words, they are miraculous manifestations, miraculous activities of the body of the Buddha, of the speech of the Buddha, and the mind of the Buddha. And if we examine these three enlightened activities of body, speech and mind of the Buddha, we can see that actually for us who are beginners, the ones that are most accessible and they benefit us more directly is the enlightened activities of the speech, because a beginner can always have some sort of access to the teachings. They can listen to some teachings, and on the basis of that they can start practicing and they can start eliminating the negativity that exists within our own minds, eliminate the faults that exist within our own minds. Now, it is interesting actually to see that there is an interaction between extending enlightened activities and between receiving enlightened activities. The analogy that is usually given in order to illustrate that is the function or what happens between an axe and a tree. So first of all, you say that in order to cut down a tree, the axe must have a certain sharpness and a certain power, a certain ability to to chop down the tree. And this is like the enlightened activities that are extended from the sight of the Buddhas. But also, in order for the action to be completed, the tree from its own side must have a certain amount of receptivity, right, to receive the axe, to receive the blade of the axe. This is how the cutting down of the tree can take place. So it's, although the Buddhas are always extending their enlightened activities, we need to understand that sentient beings from their side also, according to their karma, they are receiving this. So they are receptive, or they are open to these enlightened activities. And this is how we end up accumulating some sort of virtue with our body, with our speech, with our mind, even if it is a small amount of virtue. And eventually that leads us to the conclusion that whatever virtue we create is due to the kindness of the Buddhas, is due to the enlightened activities of the Buddhas that reach out towards ourselves. Now, Arunsi was saying, you know, when we examine what happens with those enlightened activities that are sent out and at the same time they are received, it is very similar to any other process of communication. It is like sending and receiving mail, right? There is something that happens on both sides. There is always a sender and there is a recipient. The similar thing actually happens with a radio, any type of message, any type of communication. You might have the radio waves, so you could have the air or the space that actually transfer and transmit these messages, but on the other side, you always have a listener who's a receiver. And when these two things meet together, when you have a reception, then of course in the mind of the receiver there will be different thoughts and different experiences that are generated. So it's always an act of mutual communication. Something is sent out and at the same time it is received.
ဝကြည့်တတ်တန်ကျူကိုမရကျူရှာရင်ဒီငီဝကြည့်တတ်တန်တဲ့တင်ရရင်ပဲရင်သူတမ်းမစကရစကိုခံဒီဝရချပညံဘူးစေကြည့်တတ်ဂျီဝကြည့်မဆောင်ယူရတဲ့ဒါဆောင်ရောင်းနေဒီကပ်ဒီပတ်ချေလေးပါဒီခေါ်ပေါ်ရတာဒီအောင်းနေမှာကျူကွန်ချောဆံကိုကိုရောဒါတင်ရချူမှာတမ်းလေးတစားမှာဒီတေးရနေအောင်တတ်တရင်ဒီကပ်နေ ສອງຈີກັນຊະນີຄໍາດີວ່າຈະໄປຍິນບໍ່ເສຈີດີວ່າຈີກັນສັມຈີຈີຈິນາຢູ່ຍາດີວ່າຈີກັນກະຣິດສິກໍຍິນບຸນໂດຈີເຕນດີຈູຊາສອງຈີກໍສອງຈອງຍີກໍໂດມັນແຕ່ວ່າຈິດທໍາແບບຢູ່ວ່າດີຕະຊົນາສອງຍັງກໍຢູ່ວ່າຕະຊົນນີສອງວ່ານ້ອງຈັງກໍຈິດຕາມີວ່າຕະດີຈູຊາຊິນສັມຈີທໍາຈີກໍຈິດລະຄໍາດີວ່າຈະໄປຍິນບໍ່ຢູ່ສອງຈີຫາກໍນີວ່າຈີຢູ່ ညံခွေးတဲ့စီမှာတည်တော်ဒေသလာဓမ္မဓမ္မဘုကြီးအောင်ရောက်ယူပါလေခါကြီးဓာကြီးချင်းပန်းတုံကြီးကြီးရောက်ယူပါလေခါကြီးကရောခံပြောရကြပညံဘုရုစတိစံကျင်းသံကြလာဆောင်ကြီးရောကြီးစေရုစင်းရောတင်တဲ့ဓာကြီးချင်းပန်းတုံကြီးကြီးရောက်ယူပါလေတေးဆောင်နဲ့ရောကျွံ့မှန်ဘုရောင်တင်ကြီးကြီးဆောင်ကြီးရောကြီးစေရုနဲ့ဟောကြီးတီးကြလာကြီးကရစ်စကိုကျွံ့ကွန်စင်တင်ကြီးရောတဲ့ကန်တင်ကြီးကိုရောတဲ့ကြီးတန်တီရုန nubachila amar jer guati nengo tinra chila chondi yudini.
Maharshi was saying, actually, if we look at the material and at the time that we have available, it seems highly impossible that we actually reach the part of the text which describes the potential, the heart of the Tathagata. Now, most probably we will cover the part of the text which describes the three jewels. This is how far we will go this time in this presentation. But just to go a little bit back and talk a bit more about the potential, the heart of the Tathagata. There are various texts that deal with that, and of course in each one of the texts you will find a slightly different presentation of that issue. In total there are about 10 texts, and it's very interesting to see that there are different ways of interpreting this idea of the potential. And in some texts it has been interpreted as the concept that already within the mind of sentient beings, Buddhahood is established. But if this is the case, then we would have to assert that there is no fault existing within the mind of a sentient being. And we know that this is not the case. Our mind is a combination of faults and qualities. So when we talk about this potential, this heart of the Tathagata, is not something that should be interpreted as already establishing Buddhahood within ourselves. Rather, it is the potential to reach the state of Buddhahood. Another important issue that comes, and it's very relevant with the potential, is the existence of a permanent self or an impermanent self. So, you know, a lot of the Hindu bibliography talks about an ever existing, a permanent self. And the reason why they say that there is this permanent self is because they say the continuum is uninterrupted. Now, there is of course a continuum that remains uninterrupted, but when we look at the self, our presentation is that there is no self that is permanent. The self keeps changing, and this is actually what explains the existence of a continuum. And when we say that the self is impermanent, this is a very important assertion, because actually that allows for us to accept that there is a fluctuation between the qualities and the faults that we have. We will go through phases, this self, this I, will go through phases where we'll have more qualities and less faults. And then again, this might be succeeded by a period where we seem to be having more faults and less qualities and so forth. The fact that that change is possible is due to the fact that the self is actually impermanent. And it's, you know, this is a very important point here related to this potential that we have within ourselves. And of course, we need to assert the existence of the self, since the self, the consciousness, has to be, since we always have to identify a main being who is the experiencer of whatever is created and the happiness and the suffering of that. But nevertheless, there is a continuum, there is a continuity, and within that, there is impermanence and there is change.
Hoji da dinayin bayin du ji dawse ji di mar sarchun da wo ji yong ayin du chewa tram da da zun do tang da nama tram da da zun do tang chua konga ko mara tofan du dingi. Nungwa ko nonita kharsan chua nongjiri. Nima vivasi ji ti matawi konga mara ji karisi ko ji dao di dao yopa mamangi, dao mipara mamangi, meli metan ji yu dingi. Mese du sami yon man dingi. Wajita tenra ko chikichila matiwa tibi tong dingi ko chanin jo gogori. Tenra yinba yendu oji tenra ko chanin jo ya di chamta ကျေအောင်မအောင်မကောင်းကံကြောင့်လင်းကြောင့်တော့သူကျင်တာကိုရပါမာရီမာတော့ဒီကျေဘတ်ချေတင်တာကိုတင်နေရောက်တယ်ငွေဟောကျေဒါတင်နေရောက်ကျေတမ်တာကောင်းမတဆူလှူလာကျေညေဒေါစီကျေတဲ့တော့တေဆူကောင်းကကျေဂေါရှာထမှုကျင်ငွေဆောင်နေတိတူပြီးတောင်းတင်းကိုဆောင်ရောက်ကိုရပါရင်သူဂေါရှာထမှုစီကျေတဲ့တော့တောင်းစားကိုဆက်မြီရင်းကျေးရင်ကိုရပါရင်ဟောတင်တာကိုချန်နေကျေကရစကို
We have mentioned the other day that actually when we examine the assertion around the self and selflessness and the existence of the self, we can see that there is a definite difference between non-Buddhist and Buddhist groups. And we say that from amongst the Buddhist groups or the Buddhist schools, there is only one school, the Nemapuas. I think in Sanskrit they are called the Vatsiputriyas. Anyway, apart from them, everybody declares selflessness. They are the only group that were given the teachings or accept the teachings of the existence of the self. But, of course, it's very interesting to see how every school gradually refines this object of negation. Because, first of all, when you talk about selflessness, you are negating something. So, first of all, the object of negation needs to be identified. And this is gradually refined. So, there is, of course, a lot of debate according to how you define your object of negation. And this is how we have come into the point also of having different views on emptiness and selflessness. And this is how we have come to have a lot of debate and eventually come to use these terms of our emptiness and the emptiness of others, Zhangtong and Xiantong. Now, you must have heard about this view of emptiness, the Xiantong view of emptiness. And the whole debate comes from how exactly we define the object of negation and how what exactly is it that we define as self and other. When we examine these views of selflessness or emptiness, it is very important to define it very clearly. Because really when we look at it from the point of view of the middle way consequence school, we understand that when we talk about emptiness, we talk about emptiness which is empty of inherent existence. This is the object of negation, inherent existence, the idea that there is a self of phenomena that exists without being dependent upon different causes and conditions. Now, and this idea also, you know, of emptiness of other, it's very interesting. Now, to give some examples on that and how the debate evolves around that. For example, if you have a gompa,
And at one particular time, the Gompa might be empty of monks. You can talk about the Gompa and the monks being separate, so being other, and you can talk about the emptiness of monks, like the lack of monks in this case. So they say that, you know, this idea of shentong, of emptiness of other, is as if you have this lack of monks from the Gompa, which are other from the Gompa. Or another example that is given is to have a cup which is empty of hot water, and in this case you're taking the cup and the water as being other, as being separate, and you talk about Shen Tong, the emptiness of other. And Rinpoche was saying, you know, if you start thinking like that, you can see the fallacies that follow from that. This is not the idea of emptiness. This is not what we mean with emptiness. And also there was the other view, the Hashang view of emptiness, where this person was actually proclaiming there is no virtue, there is no non-virtue, there is nothing, everything is empty. So he was saying that there was, you know, he was just saying that the view of emptiness is the view that neither virtue or non-virtue exists, that one exists in this space without these two, let's say, poles, right? So you can see this, there are different ways of presenting emptiness, different ways of misunderstanding emptiness, and this is why one has to be very careful with this presentation. Then we mentioned this view of Hashang. His whole name was actually Hashang Mahayana. And the fact that his view would be spread in Tibet and eventually would be defeated was something that was prophesized by Guru Rinpoche himself, where he said in the future, in Tibet, there will actually come a time where there will be a lot of dispute regarding the correct view. And at that time, when this occurs, you will have to invite the great Master Kamala Shila from India. When he will come into Tibet, he will engage the opponent in a formal debate, and the opponent will be defeated. And in this case, the opponent is recognized as being Hashang Mahayana, who had this particular view of non-existence of virtue, non-virtue, and defining emptiness in this particular way. So it had all been prophesied and described.